This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask for breath again this morning, that you bless us again. We receive help. We receive help. We receive help both to speak and also to hear. Thank you, our Father, for you help us mightily. Jesus, we receive help. We receive help from you. Thank you, Spirit of God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. This is lesson 4, and today's topic is basis of the supernatural, the wonder working. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 20. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Then Psalm 107, let's read from verse 18 to 20. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they drew nigh unto the gate of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and deliver them from their destructions. They were already approaching the gate of death. But with his word being sent, it was able to deliver them from their what? From their destructions. Hallelujah. Let's read Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 33 to 35. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Objectives we'll be considering, and also to establish that the word as the source and sustainer of all things. Also to exalt the wonder-working power, integrity, constitution, and potency of the word. And lastly, to also show how the supernatural is superimposed on the natural by the word. Introducing the lesson, it is very expedient for us to know the source of the word. Hebrew called the word Dabar, which means utterance or spoken word of God. And we can confirm that with the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So Dabar means the spoken word of God. So Dabar expresses the word as utterance, that which is spoken. And Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 affirmed that that word will always accomplish why it has been sent. Then the Greek in a rendition of the word expresses the word as a person called logos. That is talking about the word as a person. And the scripture also confirms it in the book of John chapter 1 verse 1. It's a popular scripture. John chapter 1 verse 1. Let's read together, church, one to go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's read verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So you will see, the logos of the Word as a person, So, the visible and invisible realities of the present heaven and earth were spoken into existence by the word of God. And this is the medium through which he interprets and brings forth his thought into manifestation. So, the word of God communicates his thoughts. The word of God communicates his intent. The word of God is what, you know, brought about the invisible and the visible. And that is why you see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, Hebrews 11 3 says that through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So meaning the word also framed things that do not appear. If I ask you now, you know, have you seen your spirit man before? Hallelujah. You know, in the realm of the spirit, there are still things that do not appear. So you will see that the word frames both the invisible and the visible. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So meaning light was brought into existence by the word of God. So the word created both visible and what? Invisible. So even the things that you cannot see, the things that are invisible are also formed and framed by the word. And that is why you see that you can't conclude the word only on what you see. Hallelujah. The word of God also has framed and has formed and has created invisible things. The word of God holds the intent, promises, commands, and instructions of God. Let's read the book of Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Say, order my steps. In what? In thy word. So, because the word of God is what carries the intent, the promises, the commands, and the instructions of God. It is the channel through which he transmits power, works changes, and accomplishes whatsoever he pleases on earth. And that's why the scripture says that he sent his word to represent him. Hence, the word is as powerful as when God is present. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the beautiful thing about the word of God is that the scripture says that wherever the word of the king is, hallelujah, the what? There is power. So meaning the potency, the power that the king has is actually in his word. So when the king sends his word, that is the king. And that's the king. So meaning the potency of the word is, it lies in who has said it. It lies in the source of such word. So the word of God is who? Is God. Let's read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is what? Say, where the word of a king is. So, which means that wherever the word of a king is, there the king is. Because as a people, we must have a change of understanding and a reorientation that the word of God is God. That the word of God is who? Is God. Let's read the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 15 to 16. And that from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then verse 16. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All that God will ever give to a man is resident and packaged within his word. One of the major strengths of the adversary over a believer is that you don't believe in his word. You are not a child that will take the word of his father as he has said it and run with it. One of the fathers of faith, he said something very profound in one of his books, you know, Keon. He said that we are too mature to believe the word as it is written. We are too mature. So you reason it out. If the word has said that You will live long, and God will fulfill the number of your days. You are reasoning with it that with this thing that doctor have said concerning my health, you are doubting that word. Because of your current circumstances and estate, you begin to doubt the word. So you allow what you are going through to doubt God. Because God is his word. He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. And you see that God is actually what? When he sent forth his word, he said to heal them. So meaning the thoughts of God towards them, even though their souls were already going towards the gate of death, yet the thought of God is a restoration. The thought of God towards them is to heal them. But you know, when they send that word, you can be too mature and say that, Abba, we are too close to the gate of death. There can't be a restoration. And that was the problem of the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 37, when he was brought to the valley of dry bones. In fact, the scripture confirmed it, that the bones were not just dry, they were very dry. Just like when Jesus said to you, verily, verily. You know when a prophet said verily, verily, he's a serious one. He said, the bones were very dry. So, but you see that how that the word of God that he was commanded to speak brought about what? Everything that those dry bones needed for them to become a great army. You know, a great army is not a normal human being. They are not civilians. It means they have extra feature. The difference between a soldier and a civilian is that a soldier has what? Extra features. Meaning the full capacity of a man is actually to be a warrior. You alone need to be an army. And really, that is the promise of the word of God. And that's why you see that it is the basis and springboard to the supernatural and to all his promises. Hence, the depth of possibilities available for a man to experience and walk is actually based on the measure of the word he can assess, believe, and hold on to. The limitation of any believer is how much of his word you have assessed. How much of his word you have what? You have assessed. So meaning without having access to the word, believing in the word, and holding on to the word, you will be limited in yourself. Because you won't be able to come into the full realization and the potency of what that word can do. So it is expedient for us as what? As believers to assess the word, believe the word, and what? And hold on to, say hold on to. You know, many are times we believe the word, but we are not holding it yet. And we can see the progression of how we ought to handle the word of God. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, said that which we have what? Heard. That which we have what? Seen with our eyes. And that which we have what? Looked upon. But you thought they've done well by looking upon it. He said no, but our what? And have undoed. So we need to hold on to the word of the Lord. Till the end. Say till the end. The hand of the word of God is the performance of the reason, the intent, why it has been sent. And that is why you should believe that you can be fully saved. The scripture says that God, who cannot lie, hath promised us what? Eternal life. Do you know that you should believe it? That what God has promised me is what? And do you know what? You believe it so much that it will affect your body. That I'm not going anywhere until I have the promise. Because the word of God has said to me that the promise of God to me is what? Eternal life. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. Want to go to church? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Really, what gives life and sustenance to man is the word of God. That a man is in his 70s and 80s, and he has claimed that he has no regard for God, he's an atheist, does not mean that he's living according to the word of God. So meaning you can be existing on earth, but you are not living by the word. It means you are like a beast of the field. that the memory of such a man is wiped away. So really, the sustenance of man is the word of God. And that was what Jesus said, you know, to Satan when he came to tempt him in the wilderness. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? And Moses also told the children of Israel that man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. So what you should believe, what you should always live by, is by the word of God. It's by the word of God. Because what defines a man is actually his word. Because it is his word that even framed man. What framed you should sustain you. So in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, come, let's make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion. Then in verse 27 of that Genesis 1, it said, male and female created he them. So meaning that you being a female, that definition really is not the definition of a female. Who a female is, who a male is not in the dictionary. Is actually in the word. So the dictionary has relegated certain definitions and expressions to a feminine. And all those definitions, they are adulterated definitions. So the word has created curriculums of who a male child is, of who a female child is. But really, the real definition is found in the word of God. The adversary hates man. He works confusion and chaos around to prevent him from making progress with God. The believer can only enforce order and God's will by unleashing the power of the word, which in itself carries life and authority. It is linked, it is likened to a seed with great potential locked within it, ready to grow, increase, and take over. Let's read the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 16 to 17. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, as a believer, if you believe that there are signs, these signs should follow you, they will follow you. If you don't believe it, you can be a believer for 40 years, but it will never happen. So when they ask you to pray for the sick, you refer the person to a pastor. He didn't say this sign shall follow a pastor or a prophet. He said, believe. And you see that over 60% of Jesus' miracle and healing were actually based on faith of the recipient of such miracles. He said, your faith had made you whole. Let it be to you according to your faith. So you will see that when you believe the word, then you're able to get those signs. You know, Bishop Oyedepo wrote in one of his books, he said that a faithless Christian is a signless Christian. Because he now said something, he said your faith will give you sound. That is when you have faith in your heart, you're able to confess it. So a soundless Christian is a signless Christian. So how you also allow those signs to find expression through you is that you sound it out. So when you read this word, you believe it, you confess it. You sound it out. God is bound by his word. He honors it above his name. That's Psalm 138 verse 2. He interprets the weak and feeble-hearted man by sending his word to us and illuminating his path. He said, let the weak say, I am what? I am strong. It's a word. So when you are weak, don't say you are weak. Say you are what? Because what the word says is that let the weak say, I am what? Let the poor say, I am what? So that is the word of God for you. So when you believe, the word will be able to perform the intent of God in your life. So what stops the word of God from finding expression in the life of a believer? It's not even Satan. It's the believer. Because the word of God is indestructible. The word of God is incorruptible. The word of God is sure. And that is why you will see the definition of the word of God in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. That the word of God is quick and what? Powerful. This powerful here, it means that that word is highly exalted above every other power. But do you know the shocking thing? The only power that can make this powerful not to be powerful is the believer. When you choose not to believe the word, you've already rendered it what? Powerless. But the word in itself is potent. The word in itself is quick. The word in itself is powerful. It's powerful than the power of Satan. But the believer has the right and the legal standing to choose to either believe so that it will remain powerful, or choose not to believe that it will become powerless. And that is why it's very important for us not to joke with believing the word. As he said it, then he's able to bring it to pass. Psalm 119 verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. So even in the time of affliction, you need what? His word to quicken you. Let's read verse 115, verse 154 of that same Psalm 119, verse 154. Want to go to church? Plead my cause and what? Deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. So your quickening is actually in the word of God. There is also Psalm 119, verse 125. He said, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Quicken me by thy word. Integrity and potency of the word. The strength, power, authority backing God's word is in the totality of his being and person. And that is why you see that today, the strength and the dominance of dollar in the financial market, in the financial world, dollar is as strong as the country. The currency of a nation is as strong as who? As a nation. So you will see that what is backing the word of God is God. So when that word, when the dabal of the word comes, what is coming is God. He said, let there be light. And there was what? There was light. He said, come, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He said to the stars, how did God create the stars? He was saying. And those things must come into existence because who is saying is the strength of what is being said. So what is backing what he's saying is he that has said. God and his word have won. Hence, the word is ever true. Whether in the heavens or in the earth beneath, the word is constant and does not bend to situations or circumstances. It never loses its value, strength, or potency. Let's read Psalm 119, verse 89 to 90. Say forever.
Forever.
O Lord, thy word is what? Where?
In heaven.
He said, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou art established the earth, and it what? Do you know that this whole universe put together, the whole creation put together, what is holding the existence of the whole creation is the word of God. He said, we know, we understand by faith. That the words were what? Were framed by the word of God. So meaning, life and death, they are what? In the power of the tongue. So when God has declared you that life is yours, it means so be it. The only thing that can happen to the word of God, that which God has said, is so be it. So when we say amen, we are confirming and affirming that so be it. Amen means what? So be it. So when you hear go and prosper, is so be it. So be it. Because the integrity and the potency of the word is in God. So when he says it, it must surely accomplish the reason why it has been sent. God's integrity and reputation are tied to his word. He answers to his word and is committed to perform every word that proceeds from his mouth. Hallelujah. Hence, a man can hold God by his word and be assured that it shall never be broken. Moses knew this and he held God by his word. He said, so you want to destroy them now? Like, what are you trying to do? You are the one that have told them that you have a land promise. So if you destroy all of them, because at that point, God did not even want to spare the children. He just wanted to finish up that generation and start a new brand. It does not take God. God has time. He's one that does not have time. But Moses held him by his word. That you have promised something. No, you can't go back. So what are you trying to do? So the nations of the earth can say that the Creator brought them into the wilderness and he wasted them. Then the scripture says, and God repented. So meaning, if a word of God does not favor you, another word that favors you, you will stand on that one. God sent a prophet to King Hezekiah. You will die. He pleaded with God. And the scripture says, how many years was added to his years? 15 years. And that is why, as believers, we must believe the word of God. Why? Because the strength of that word is God. It's just like in every nation, the amount of gold, natural resources you have, peradventure you are the one controlling it, would determine how your word will hold waters in the community of nations. Many of us, we doubt the word of God as if God is one errand boy. When you believe the word of God, that no sickness can take my life, you is the word of God. He said he will take these sicknesses far away from you. Because who is speaking is the God of the whole creation, including Satan that brought about the fall. What the integrity, the reputation of God's word is God. And that's the creator of the whole universe. So those promises in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, believe it. When you believe it, they will what? They will work for you. The word is potent and exceedingly powerful. It is the foundation upon which every supernatural and spiritual reality is established. Every gift from God that brings deliverance or ushers in new life is anchored upon the word. Let's read Psalm 62 verse 11. It said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard, that power belongeth unto God. You know, it says also here that to every circumstance and situation, all a believer needs is a word. Say a word. In any situation you are in any circumstance you are in, what you need is what? A word. Because the power of the word for every situation begins with faith generated in the heart. And it is backed by corresponding works. This gives the word potency in the believer's mouth. Let's read Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but what? Do you know the beautiful thing? The distance that Jesus will have taken to cover, to come under his roof, will have been a day. Because when he now got home, he asked his servant, when was this child healed? They said, so hour, the day before. But he was a wise man. He said, because he was a man under authority. And he knows that authority, hallelujah, travel faster. You see, when you see a traffic warden and he's telling a whole trailer that is huge, in fact, the driver may be fatter than him driving, you have to stand. Do you know why? Because you see, that cloth on his neck is the authority of the nation. It's not about his name or surname or where he comes from. If he's rich or poor. No. What that thing that he's wearing is authority. So authority travel faster. You know, many of us, we wait for God to come and tell us, gang. That until you have a vision or an encounter, that is when you believe. No, he has said it in his word. Believe it. He's an authority. It overrides every other authorities. Kenneth Hagin, they were already consoling him and his family that he would die of his sickness. But he stumbled. He kept reading the scriptures until he got to a portion of the scripture that was housing his own word. You can know scriptures. Thinking in it, you'll find eternal life. No. So let me explain. Say the word. The word of God is not just Genesis to Revelation. You know, there are many words. They are called scriptures. Say scriptures. And really, scriptures is from Genesis to Malachi. That's why you see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John has recorded by those authors that today the scripture is what is fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus is life also added to the scriptures that we have now. So the scriptures that was available in the day of Jesus was what? Genesis to Malachi. You hear in the scriptures of the prophet. We have the minor prophet and we have the major prophet. So Apostle Paul and other apostles that now wrote, that were given authority to write the epistles. So what we have now, we now call Genesis to Revelation scriptures. They are scriptures. But as a believer, you can have scriptures, but you are not accessing the word of God to you. So scripture is the case that houses the word of God. So when you have scriptures, you see that Bible, the Bible you have from Genesis to Revelation are scriptures. In the scriptures are the word of God. Because in the scriptures, God spoke. In the scriptures, men spoke. In the scriptures, angels spoke. In the scriptures, Lucifer spoke. In the scriptures, demons spoke. He said, Paul, we know, Jesus, we know who was speaking. Who are you? Demon asked, who are you? Demon spoke in the scriptures. Men spoke in the scriptures. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, he was one speaking, not God. If I be a man of God. So you need the scriptures to know the word of God. You need the scripture to assess the word of God. So the scripture is the one housing the word of God. That is why a believer will still get there. A believer must be conversant with the scriptures so that you can fetch the word of God for every situation. So that you can fetch the word of God for every circumstance. You can fetch the word of God for every event. You know, when you are struggling to sleep, there is a scripture that is housing the word of God. And that is the appeal to that matter. It says, he giveth his beloved sleep. So it is important. Say it is important. Tell your neighbor, say stay in the scriptures. So that you can access the word of God. Hallelujah. And that is why when Holy Ghost also speaks to you, that's the word of God. The word of God as what? Because only men of old were what? Were moved or inspired by the Holy Ghost. Miraculous working wonder of the word. God sent his word near to a man in order to save him from every bondage and limitation in life. He anointed men to bear tidings and preach it, for the word is the source and originator of life. Just like a seed, the word can sprout after many days. Let's read the book of Titus chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Titus 1, 2 to 3. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but at in due times manifested his word through preaching, because mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, it was through preaching. So when you preach the word, say preach the word. You are making the word available to hearts to receive the word. So you can read your Bible, but you are not accessing the word of God for you. Why? Because you need a preacher that has been anointed. Now I'm talking concerning the issue of eternal life. Concerning the issue of eternal life, you must be preached to so that you can access the word of God that holds the promise of eternal life. There are some labels that you don't need a skilled laborer for. Is that right? But there are some job description that you need professionals for. Then there are certain job descriptions that is not just a professional. It must be a specialist. then there are certain job descriptions, not just a specialist, experts. Then there are some job descriptions that you, not just an expert, you need someone that is an authority in it. You see that the more we travel, the narrower it becomes. So meaning, the highest authority of the world that can carry out what the world must achieve is God. That's the highest authority. So he also raises men, anoints them to be able to excavate, to assess his word, excavate them, and to be able to deliver it to heart. And that is why, when it comes to the promise of eternal life, you need a preacher. You must be preached to. Revelation is a tool of assessing the word. See, you can read Genesis to Revelation, but yet you are not seeing eternal life. So you need the ministry of Revelation to be able to excrete the scriptures so that you can fetch the word of God that has the capacity to give you eternal life. So there is the word of God that blesses your bread and your water. There is that that ministers to your body. But there is also the word of God, still in these scriptures, that has the capacity to minister life to your soul. The spirit taking occasion, brought upon the word, which has at one time or the other been sown in a believer's heart, bringing conviction. The heart is thereby conditioned to believe and mouth confesses, and thus the spirit is quickened by the Holy Ghost. The reason why our spirit can be quickened is because his word has said it. Reverend Kenyon said in the Integrity of the Word, he said the Bible is the book with God in it. God indwelt book. That's what he calls the Bible. So it's a book that God is in it. You see, this Bible, as you are seeing it, is the highest book in the whole world. Because this is the only book that is able to capture all of God. That's why even men that God have raised, some can only write about a portion. Some can write about faith. Some can write about what? Even about the Holy Ghost. He's in a measure. Some can write about love. Some can write about prosperity, about healing, about all manner of those topics are talking about a portion. But the only book that carries the head, the eyes, the nose, that can describe God is this. Is God in it. Hallelujah. So the word holds within it gift and realities a believer is to enjoy. The man who believes can stand upon every promise of the word and enjoy its realities in his own life. He can receive them as his own and walk in them by faith. That is the way we can personalize the word. Because until you come to that point, you will think the word has no power in it. We must know as believers how to personalize the word. What was the strength of that Mary? They've killed her Lord, but yet she was looking for. Meaning something had happened to her. Though the disciples that they were physically with Jesus up and down, they didn't go back to the tomb to look for anything. But she has already personalized our Lord. So we must have that kind of heart as believers that will personalize the word of God to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Want to go church? You know, you should always ask yourself, in this matter, what am I walking by? Wow. Yes. Am I walking by? Or by? You know, many people have left this nation, Nigeria, because they are walking by sight. And many will still leave because of the coming election too. Where more jobs will be available for those that need. Because in every chaos, we see opportunity. Do you know how raging the storm was? And the disciples, they had done all they could do. Mind you, they were fishermen. So which means that they know how to navigate storm. But after they've exhausted their energy, they had to go back to he that was sleeping. So when there is storm around you, go back to the word. The word may look weak. You know, there are some situations that they look boisterous. They are shouting at you. But go back to the word. It will be as if the word is sleeping. But that word has potency. What did Jesus say? Peace, be still. The word has the power to still every storm around you. Every circumstance. Anything that is not of God. Anything that God has not said concerning you. The word of God has the answer to it. What you should do is to what? Is to believe. Then on what ground do we have to believe? That will make the word of God work for us. That is the new subtopic. The new identity and the new life. You see, the fall of man brought about cause of sin. Brought about a limitation to his world. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. It says, when in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So there was a change of estate and a change of fatherhood. So Satan became our father. Jesus mentioned it in book of John chapter 8, I think verse 44. Please give me, say, yeah, of your father, the devil. That should be John 8, 44. Yeah, of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, yeah, will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So there is a change of family and reality when a man believes and confesses the word. He no longer has a tie to his old lineage, and he has been redeemed and his price has been paid for. He is no longer indebted to sin, condemnation, or guilt. He is free from his past. You know, you can be a fresh graduate that just finished NYSC. When you are entering NYSC, they will give you what? An ID card. That has a number. That is your new identity. Because you now belong to a family of federal government workers. That has uniform. So that your uniform is an identity. That your ID card is what? Is an identity. So meaning, what brought about a new identity is as a result of a new family we belong to. So families give you identity. So when Jesus said, "Ye of your father, the what?" So the family they belong to will naturally make them to be liars. And speaketh of it, express it as they like. Because that is their life. As a life, they are living it every day. So no matter how tush and how posh that guy is, in your workplace, or in school, or in anywhere, and he's telling you, "Babe, you know I love you," he's a liar. When he's saying, "I love you," he means, "I hate you like my father, the devil. And I'm here to what? Destroy your life without any repentance." So he's a liar. Because he is of his father, the devil. So all he can speak is lie. Even when he's saying that you are like the rose of Sharon, you are like the lily of the valley, what he's saying is that I am here to devour you. So what brought about new identity is as a result of a new family you belong to. And every family, what the strength of their existence is in the life that they represent. So when you join armed forces, because of that family, they have an identity. So their identity, uniform is part of it. ID card is part of it. Then they'll begin to teach you that that is what they call onboarding. Say onboarding. New birth is an onboarding. So you don't know the company yet. That is why you can't say that because you've experienced new birth, that is all of the gospel. They are still trying to recruit you very well. Because your recruitment is not completed until after probation. Your name is still written in pencil. Your ID card is temporary. So you will see that as a result of the new family we belong to, we have a new identity. That is why you can't say that you are a believer, that you have experienced new birth with baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you are still speaking vulgar words. You can't say that your child has provoked you. I say, that is, are you sick, this child? Or your head is not correct? You don't say those words. Because it's part of your new identity. Because God does not say those things. So we are carrying a new identity. Because our new identity is to make us journey so that we can express the life that this new family represents and stands for. So, meaning there's no guilt again. You know, many of us, because of lack of word, some of us came out for altar calls more than 10 times. And it's because we keep identifying ourselves with the whole family. You are no longer on that course of your natural family. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. Want to go, church? Knowing this, that our old man is what? When you believe this word, it will be easy for you to live the new life. Because when old man comes knocking at your door, you say, old man, you are what? You are crucified. With him, that the body of sin might what? Be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Free from sin. Say the old man is crucified with him. Because the old man is the body of sin. So I am free from the body of sin. So because I'm a spirit that has a soul living in a body, and I've the old man have been crucified with him. So I should reckon myself. It means recognize yourself as a new creature. That all things are what? Are passed away. Because you need the old man to be a servant of sin. At times some of us, we go back to the cross to borrow the old man. Say, if I show you who I am. No, that is not who you are. If I will show you. See, I will show you. You know, when Lagos drivers stretching themselves, it's just the spirit of old man. And for you, that old man has been what? Crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? So, your new birth has given you a privilege that your spirit is joined to the Lord. So when they say the body of Christ is the putting together of every regenerated spirit of believers. That is why when you see a believer, there is a joy, there is a connection that happens. Oh, you're a believer, you're a believer. It smells also. Because our spirits have been joined to the Lord. So we are of one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20. For ye are brought with a price. Do you know that price? Blood. The currency was blood. Because it is life for life. It's because in the book of Leviticus, it said the life of a thing is in its what? Is in its blood. It said, therefore, glorify God in your what? In your body. And in your spirit, which are God's. Say, my body. Is who?
Is God.
Say, my spirit.
My spirit
is who?
Is God.
The scripture says it. The believer is now said to be in Christ by the regeneration of the spirit and is complete in him and seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. And by this position, he assesses and exercises the authority designated to him by Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 to 13. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality. You see, that you are a wife of a man does not mean your husband is the one to complete you. In whom am I complete?
In God.
I'm complete in him. In whom also ye are what? Circumcised with the circumcision made not without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in what? In baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from. Christ's victories and triumphs are now the believer's reality. He can lay claim to them by the new identity he now possesses. He walks in the victories that Christ obtained for all who believe in him. So there are victories that Christ have obtained for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to who? God, which giveth us the what? Victory. Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So the obtaining of our victory, who gave it to us? God. And he gave it to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ's victories and triumphs are now our what? Realities. And that's why the believer is made righteous in Christ. He did not work for it, nor did he earn it, but the righteousness is imputed to him. Therefore, he is accepted by God, needing neither to fight nor earn this acceptance, as God does not remember his past. Let's read Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Want to go, church? I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. So something happened to us at new birth. Our sins were blotted out, paid for. We received the acceptance of that which has been paid for. You know, it is, I can remember those days for some people that attended private school. You know, there are times whereby a student can be lazy. You don't want to be in class. So you'll be praying that your parents have not paid school fee, so that by the time they are sending other children home, you can what? Also go home. There was one guy we had then. Unfortunately, the parents were too rich. That SS2, he had one bench like that. So he will not remind them. But unfortunately, the dad has one very competent accountant that at the beginning of the term, he will collect the bill and sort everything. So one day, he was almost escaping. The one teacher just saw him. Tell me, sir, you cannot be part of them. Go back. He said, sir, I don't think they've paid. He said, no, I will confirm. Even if they are not paid, you just... And most times we just go and while away time, play, we walk around. We are happy when... But it's during exam time that you no longer be happy that they are sending you, because you have a lot of notes to write. So that is the life of every man. Christ have actually paid it for all. But because of lack of awareness and believing in it, that is why this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to every soul, so that they will be aware of the investment of God for man. And when they believe in the finished work of Christ, they call it the finished work of Christ. So that finished work of Christ brought about an imputed righteousness. So this righteousness, you have not worked for it. That's why the school fee being paid for was not you that you went to work for it. It has been paid for because of a parent that have good intention. So, for God so loved the world, one of the most popular scripture, that what? He gave his only begotten son. Say, whosoever.
Whosoever.
So, the work of Christ is for whosoever that believes. Then Romans chapter 8 confirms it. Chapter 10 from verse 8. Say, the word is nigh thee. Even in your word, in your mouth, and in your heart. The word of faith, which we preach. He now said, whosoever shall believe with his heart and make confession with his mouth shall be saved. So, which means that the imputed righteousness is the righteousness that Christ attained so that it can bring all men to God. So, whosoever that believe in that work of Christ, that he died for our sins and God has raised him up and he's seated at the right hand of God, shall be saved. When you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth. So it's imputed righteousness. Then welcome to the family. Say welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Then you have a new identity. So because of the family that you belong to now, you have a new identity. Then they will now begin to teach you the order of that family. How to live the life that that family represents. That family represents. So that you can come into the fullness and you are also able to be empowered to be able to express the life that that family represents in its fullness. So you can be a believer, but you are not manifesting the life of the family. Because you are not subjecting yourself to the what? To the learning of that family. And that is why, by this righteousness, a believer is born against the torment and attacks of the adversary. He lives from the point of victory, not defeat. Devils and demons bow by virtue of the identity a believer now has in Christ Jesus. It can make certain petitions and receive answers according to God's will. Let's read Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Want to go, church? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Say the righteous. They are as bold as a lion. The imputed righteousness is enough for you to be a bold believer. You don't cow in before any circumstance or issue of life. You don't bow to the oppression and the loudness of your adversary. Because the righteousness, they are as what? As bold as a lion. So the imputed righteousness is a work done by Christ. That new birth, you receive it so that you can access God. Then they begin to teach the soul how Christ attained the righteousness. So that's why the scripture says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that by grace are we what? Are we saved? Through faith, not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. So through the righteousness within, the believer now has a new life and no longer bound to the old lifestyle. And Christ is the head of the church and delegates authority and power to his body. Believers are to live by and order their lives according to the dictate and guidance of the head. They must see themselves just as God sees them in order to walk in these realities. For a believer can still be preyed upon through ignorance. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that is not God's will. Because we must understand that the authority that the head has been delegated to the body. And you know that that is even how your physical body functions. When your eyes sees danger, what happens to your feet? You run for safety. The authority that the leg has to move came from where? From the head. So also is that there is an authority that our Lord Jesus Christ has. And that authority is the authority of the head, which has been delegated to the body for expression. I'm part of the body of Christ. I also carry the delegated authority of the head. So what the head wants to do, I, as a member of the body, I've been given that authority to get it done. One of the visions that Kenneth Hagin had with Jesus, Jesus was talking to Kenneth Hagin, and a time came, there was a smoky cloud that came between them. And it was an evil spirit, a demon, that came in between Kenneth Hagin and Jesus and was making sound, flapping, you know, its hand, yikiti yakata, you know. And that dark cloud was so cloudy that it could no longer hear the Lord Jesus. And also because of the sound that the evil spirit was making. And he was expecting Jesus. That, Jesus, you are talking to me. You should have rebuked the spirit. So he asked Jesus. So he lost the communication for a while. But he got angry that why would Jesus be talking to me and you are distracting me. So meaning his ignorance was visited. He came into an awareness and he said, I rebuke you, you evil spirit, in the name of Jesus. He rebuked the evil spirit. The evil spirit went, the dark cloud, everything succumbed, and he could see Jesus again and hear him again. And was now asking Jesus, why didn't you rebuke the evil spirit? Jesus said, I have given you the authority to what? To rebuke such. And it was that authority that he used because it was not in Kenneth Hagin's name. But it was in whose name? Jesus' name. So he said, anything that needs to be done on earth will be done through the believer. As he is, so you are in this world. As he is, see as he is. In heaven, so am I in this world. As a result of delegated authority. The word is the believer's victory hedge. And confession of the word concerning a matter is agreement with God on that matter. The word gives faith to the hearer. And he who believes and acts upon it assesses its power and sees it manifest in his life. Let's read the book of Mark chapter 11 verse 23. Let's read. Want to go, church? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou... Say whosoever. Shall what? Say unto this mountain. But before this person say unto this mountain, you will see what had happened. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have what? Whatsoever he said. Whatsoever he said are divided into two sayings. There is a saying within, there is a saying without. The saying within is the saying with your heart. What you believe with your heart will generate a saying in your heart. Then you must also give it a voice. So there is an internal saying. There is an outward what? There is an external saying. So say, whosoever that will say to this mountain. He was talking about external saying there. And shall believe in his heart that whatsoever thing he said, that is an internal saying, shall come to pass. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever, ye what? Ye desire. When you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Whatsoever you desire. That desire means say in your heart, or believe in your heart. When you confess it, when you pray, believe that you receive it. Believe that you've received it. And that is why one of the strong principles of faith is not I shall or I hope. Faith is saying now. Saying, I have it. Faith is saying, I receive it. Faith is saying, it is well with me. Not it shall be well with me. Faith is saying, it is well with me. Faith is saying, by stripes I was healed. Not I will be healed. Faith does not say, I hope I will be healed. Faith is saying, I am healed. So you believe with your heart. And it will generate an internal saying. Then you confess with your mouth. And that's what, you know, Bishop Oyedepo also said, that a soundless Christian is a signless Christian. Because when you can't sound it out, you won't see the signs. Because miracles respond to what you are saying. Because the force of faith rests on believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. While unbelief and fear in the heart are accompanied by wrong confessions, faith in the heart is evident by faith confessions. This is the reality of the new man who feeds on the word. His thoughts are aligned with God's truth, enabling him to stand on and exercise the authority of the word. Let's read the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 45. Let's read together, church, want to go? A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So what is in your heart? The scripture says in the book of Romans chapter 10, the word is 90, even in thy heart. Where are you keeping the word? Are you leaving the word in your Bible? And you are putting it to support your pillowcase. Or is the word in your heart? Because what you confess is what is in your heart. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what is in your heart is what you confess. So when the weak says, I am weak, it means you are weak in your heart. You believe that you are weak. Hallelujah. And faith does not bring about denial. No, faith superimposes a true reality over what is visible. Faith imports the invisible into what? Visibility. Hallelujah. And that is why as a believer, you can live below the standard of God for your life. Why? Because of where the word is concerning you. You can live the word in the scriptures. And you can choose to ensure that the word is in your heart and in your what? In your mouth. Confess that which is in your heart. And what must be in your heart must be the word of God. so that what you will confess will be the word of God. Living the miraculous life by the word. The word of God inherently carries immense power, but the release of its potency follows certain principles. And the following outlines how we ought to engage the word effectively and make power available. Say, hearing the word.
Hearing the word.
Through, though quickened by the Spirit, a believer may still be ignorant and unaware of his estate and the privileges it affords. To move from awareness to exercising faith for miraculous living, a believer must invest heavily in hearing, studying, and meditating on the word. You see, it is expedient for us to ensure that we give ourselves to hearing. Because what deals with ignorance is knowledge. You will not be aware of your rights and privileges and the promises of God for you as a believer if you are ignorant of these things. You'll be able to assess and utilize them. So hearing the word is very important. And that is why you see that even for a sheep, as long as the ear is still alive and can hear the voice of the shepherd, that sheep can still come alive. And that is the priority we should place on hearing the word. Many of us will complain about the word. Many of us will even carry the word about, but we are not hearing it as we should. You know, you can have many devices, but you are still ignorant of the devices of the devil. The essence of these devices, gadget and all, is to avail of the opportunity to be hearing the word of God. Even the scriptures, they are in audio versions. There are a lot of messages you can be hearing. As you are hearing them, you are hearing the word of God. So that you no longer be ignorant of what? Of the devices of the enemy. Say, I will use my devices.
I will use my devices.
To come into knowledge.
To come into knowledge.
So that I will no longer be ignorant.
So that I will no longer be ignorant.
Of the devices of my adversary.
Of the devices of my adversary.
Waiting on the word. Another one is waiting on the word. A believer must hold fast to the integrity of the word to see it to come to pass in his or her life. Continuous hearing, meditation, and patient waiting on the word stirs faith in the heart and eventually accomplish what the word was sent to do. And the culture of waiting is therefore necessary for the manifestation of God's promises. When you are waiting for the word, immediately the word arrives. He said, mix it with faith and confess it with your mouth. What will only happen is a performance of the word. So as believers, we must also have the culture of waiting for the word. What is the word of the Lord concerning a matter? That is why it is not allowed that a believer is confused. When you wait on the word, it settles confusion. It settles doubt. It settles fear. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, they are waiting upon the Lord to receive the word of the Lord. He said, he shall renew their... So what is bringing strength is that word they are waiting for. Because your word is life. Believing in the word. Believing the word is making it personal. Actively aligning the heart with God's promises. Rather than passively acknowledging their possibility. Faith is anchored not in feeling or circumstance. But in the absolute truth of what God has spoken. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession. This profession also means confession of our faith. Without what? For he is faithful that promised. So the strength of the word is as a result of he that is promising it. He is faithful. You see, God does not shift ground because of circumstance. So his word also overrides every circumstance. Because man fell, God did not turn back and say that I will no longer promise man eternal life. No, he has said it, that man will inherit him. And is committed. Say, God is committed to his word. So I should believe his word and take it personal concerning my life. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter your feeling. We walk by faith, not by feeling. I feel I'm sick. No. The scripture says that I'm made whole. Because what makes whole is my faith. So I believe the word. So I'm whole. I'm okay. Confession and the word. This is the believer's spoken expression of faith. It is not an empty repetition, but a deliberate declaration of what God has said, releasing the power inherent in the word to produce results. That's why it is important for you as a believer to know how to confess the word. Say his word back to him. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. So what are you speaking? We also believe, and therefore we speak. And therefore speak. So as a parent, don't say to that child, you are a dullard. You can't even know book. No. You are confessing wrong confession. When the child is not doing well academically, say, you are on top. You will do well. You will do well. You bring out confessions of faith. Lastly, acting on the word. It says, this is the believer's obedience to what has been heard, believed, and confessed. It demonstrates trust in God's promises, releasing faith in the heart, and position the believer to receive what? Result. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Say, acting on the word. That is your obedience. Excuse me, you feel you are poor. It's a feeling. That is not faith. When you feel your account is low, or you don't have currency, it's a feeling. Because you are rich. You are as rich as your father that is in heaven. When there is shortage of currency, what I do is that I look for something to give. Because it's a confession of my faith. It's an obedience of my faith that we always have to what? To give. One scripture struck me. Was it 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9? He said he was made poor so that I will be rich. Jesus have gone through that thing so that I can be rich. He said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was what? He was rich, yet for your sake he became what? That ye through his poverty might be what?
Rich.
You must believe it. If you can't believe the natural, how will you believe the spiritual? If you can't believe the spiritual, how will you believe the divine? If you can't believe the divine, how will you believe eternal life? Start with you. So, obedience to faith is giving commensurate action to what you believe, what you confess. Can I take it? After I received that word, Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. What happened to him? The Holy Ghost told him, now stand up from that bed and take steps. Many of us, we believe, we confess, but we are not taking action. Taking action is the going of the extra mile that will bring about the miraculous. You obey it. Even though you are feeling feverish and no, I'm made whole. Then you do what a normal person should do. A sick person lies under the duvet and is shivering. But a normal person walks around and keep confessing the word. Hallelujah. That is how you live the miraculous life. Can we just respond to the Lord this morning?
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Pastor Dai already combed the whole. I will just quickly speak on the new identity and the new life. Hallelujah. Can everybody shout new identity?
New identity.
And the new life.
And the new life.
Okay. Baba, you can share the story. Ephesians 2:6. Read the scripture together with me. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in what? In Christ Jesus. He said he had a vision. Baba again shared the vision, and in that vision he was caught up to heaven and he saw angels prepared, arrayed, you know, as if they were prepared for battle. He said, but he saw that they could not move. They couldn't do anything. And he asked. And he said, he was told that we cannot move because men that are regenerated in their spirit are speaking from the earth instead of speaking from heaven where they are. Because angels don't move except by the word. Psalm 103 verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angel, that excel is there, that do his commandment. hearkening unto the voice of what? So, they only hearken to the voice of his word. That what? You speak. We know that they are the custodian of the present. And miraculous life cannot believe without the angelic manifestations. They are the one that carry part around for healing. They are the one that custode, you know, the wisdom to live in health, even in the days of our flesh. So we need to know that we are seated. We need to be excited and know this thing. If you don't know it, that the angel will just be there, effecting nothing, because word is yet to be released. They are waiting because they only move at the command of the word of God. So if we are people that, you know, that are not conversant, that do not practice, you know, putting the word in our heart, and not just put it in our heart, and say it. You must keep on saying it, like one of the father and the body will say. Say, keep on saying it. Psalm 107, verse 2. Just rounding up. He said, let the redeemer of the Lord say what? So. Woo me at what? Are you redeemed?
Yes, sir.
So why would the enemy come to confront me? That what? That the Lord has what? Has redeemed. So he just said, resist the devil. If you don't say it, he remaineth with you. You know, there's a way some of us, we maintain this position of one day will be one day, God will come for me. He has already come for you. He came for you that day that you gave your life to Christ. And it's the same process must continue. You believe in your heart and you what? First with your mouth. And something happened. And that process must be our life. Don't confess your feelings. Angels don't respond to feeling. They don't respond to cry. They respond to the word, voice of his word. God has emotion, but he's not emotional. I'm crying. Excuse me. If your is not parroting the word, angels will remain inactive. Speak from where you are seated. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We should what? You know, we should know that. And this is why the word of God must always be in our mouth. Psalm 37, he said, the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. And what? Delivered them. So the economy of the supernatural is actually in their hands. But it only, you know, respond to the voice of his word. Voice of his word. Voice of his word. Enemy cannot come around you. Jesus, you know, when he said it is finished, it is finished. The issue of our health is what? Is what? Is finished. But you must say it. And you must not stop saying it. Some of us will be praying concerning our health, and some of us still confess. You are still saying your situation. That's not your situation. In the realm of the spirit, it's madness for you to be saying what God has not said concerning you. You know, there's a way enemy makes us feel bad. You know, feel odd because you are saying what the Lord says concerning you. Because the Lord gave you a word and you are saying, I'm standing on the word of God. Agin said, you need to be mad at the enemy. He said, I was so mad acting on the word that he came to a time. He said, he came to a time. I confess to the point that he said, I'm standing on the word. He said, I put my Bible. I'm not saying you should do this. And I put my leg on the Bible. He said, on this word I stand. This word that is tested, tried, and remained forever. So we need to know that we are not at disadvantage. And we shouldn't live like people that are disadvantaged. Look for the word. For that situation, there is a word for that situation. Pastor said something that struck me so much. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Meaning, I can live only by the word. The man shall, but I can live only by the word. If the word frame me, it's the word that should sustain me. That is a word for each day. Reason for meditation. Reason for, you know, for quiet time is to receive the word for the day. And speak the word. Keep saying it. What you'll be seeing in every of our event of the day is the word. And that's why we need to learn how to wait for it. You wait for it through meditation. Because don't just read the word and just leave it there. And you meditate on it. You stay on it. Until it diffuses into your what? Into your heart. It's with the heart and with the mouth. With the heart and with the mouth. With the heart and with the mouth. If the mouth, he says, now thing that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask, not think. So you can see, exactly, you must ask with your mouth.
Everything, this is spirit, spirit, spirit. It's spirit, spirit, it's spirit. Spirit, 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 spirit.
Shampara fessi buntali ampalale okumuta taigege keke kalago kemano kaplu veneticia shmena tablo ventizom tom trenta sumna kapapa uta papa ota poti pato hota ota 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 Otter, let it go, let it go, let it go out, let it go out, let it home, let it go forth, let it go forth, let it go forth. Minomate, semineto shitsipo tablabadite. Otter, otter, otter it, otter it, otter it. Let it go to the hot, uttermost, to the even down to the uttermost, even down to the uttermost part, even down to the uttermost crevices, even down to the uttermost locations. Otter, otter, otter. Many motives, spirit otter, spirit otter. Is spirit going forth? Is the spirit going forth? Is the spirit going forth without limitation? Without limitation. Even beyond your thoughts, even beyond your imaginations. Oh, utter, utter. Keep uttering. Open up. Don't be shut within. Don't be shut in your mouth. Keep uttering. Oh, for he is scared of your utterance. He is scared of your utterance. Utter from the word. Utter in the word, and you will see great power made available by the Spirit. Say the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. Can you say a big amen? Amen. I appreciate Pastor Mustafa and Pastor Abraham for me. Let's read Psalm 68, verse 11. In the place of the waiting of the word, when the word comes to you, you should know. There is something about when the Lord gave the word. Psalm 68, 11. Want to go, let's read together. When God gave you the word, in the place of waiting, devotional manner is not just for you to read something. Primary essence of what you use devotion, maybe you use manual, is to wait on the word. And you wait on the word by praying, waiting. You might just be able and just run away. That's why I don't believe anybody can do devotion inside car. That is my persuasion. I don't believe it. It's never done. Because when you need devotion, you need to attend to the Lord without distraction. There's an atmosphere you must maintain so that you can receive what God has spoken. If you know that you need to leave the house by 6:30, you need to wake up by 4. Yes. You need at least 1 hour. If you know that you have to leave, you are going to leave the house. You can't be cooking food and you are saying you are leaving. You don't do devotion like that. You don't do your quiet time like that. If that's how you have been doing it, it's wrong. Family devotion is different from personal devotion. Because many people are dead today because they couldn't wait upon the word. I mean, many people, countless Christians, born again, good Christian. When I say good, you understand what I mean? Are dead today simply because they cannot wait. They could not wait. They do not know how to wait on the word. Because oftentimes, if there's a danger, if truly you wait upon the Lord, your spirit will pick it. A lot of people have entered one chance. Obeying the spirit is more important than we put ourselves into danger. He said, the Lord gave the word, and the Lord always give word. Whenever you take the word, and you act, you obey the word, you become part of the company of those who publish it. Publishing the word is in fourfold. The number one way you publish the word, you publish the word by living out the word. That's the first way of publishing the word. You publish the word by doing what the word say, by living out the word, by embodying, let the word become a conversation, a way of life to you. That is the first. Second way you publish the word, the company of them that publish the word are those who preach the word. That's the second company. Those who live out the word are higher than the preacher of it. I can preach it, but I'm lower. Just like I thought, he said, whosoever know this commandment, teach it, and do not do it, it shall come the least in the kingdom. But whosoever teach it and do it, it shall be today is the greatest in the kingdom, or the great in the kingdom. So the greatest or publisher of the word, when you are or the word you receive, you wait and you utter it, or you hear the word and you believe, is those who do the word, those who act it out, those who obey the word again. Then second in the hierarchy are those, well, those who preach it. If you're a preacher, that's why by preaching it, that's why you must not close your mouth. You can't close your mouth. The order of evangelism now is that you tell people the goodness of the things of Christ. You must order. You may not need to do charts, but I'll tell the opportunity of your colleague at work, you must stand and publish it. There's a blessing. And it's a sign of being great. It's a great is the company. If you want to be great, you first of all lead by your life, also preacher of it. Then the thought in publishing the word are those who pray. Those who pray. Those who pray the word. You saw Anna in the temple. You saw Simon. They were praying and waiting. And God said, because of what that says that they did, God said they will not die until they saw what they are praying for. So in the company of the greats, there are different measures. Firstly, those who do, those who obeyed, who responded, then followed by those who preach it. Then those who pray for the word of God to come to pass and to be done. And the third company in publishing the word are those who give towards it. Those who give towards the publishing of the word. When they go want to be published, and you say, this man, either the preacher or any meeting that they will go to use to publish the word, or a man that is going to publish the word, or those who are laboring in prayer, you give them things. You remember Cornelius. Cornelius was just a giver. He was not even a proselyte. A proselyte is a Gentile that observed Jewish worship. He was not even a proselyte, but he was giving. He gave towards the cause of publishing, and God remembered him. God said, the remember of your arm has come to me. Some of governors, some of local government chairman, some of counselors, they don't believe in God. But anytime people are going to do pilgrim, they will give. And sometimes you pray that they should die. They are not dying. They can't die because what they are giving to will not make them die. They can't die. God will keep having long suffering towards them that they should not perish, but eventually they will come to life even. Even they will continue like that until even when they are about to breathe their last breath. Alhaji Sulaiman, Wasiri of Bauchi, and he has beaten everybody, but when he's about to breathe his last breath, Jesus will appear to him. When death wants to take him, you will just see Jesus. When he closes his eyes, we see Jesus. With a last breath, you will just believe in his heart. When you get to heaven, you're going to see billions of them like that. Because they have given. Bible is the one that said it. He said he has given to the poor. He had dispersed abroad. His righteousness remain. As it's written. Say it is written. They wrote it. Meaning that it can't be blotted out. God will see to the performance of this. As it's written, he had dispersed abroad. His other religion, he does not believe in it. But he had dispersed abroad. The wisdom of God in saving. Because it's written. And God will see to it that what is written, what will come to pass. A big amen. The Lord gave the word, and great. Those who publish it, not just those who leave it out alone. Those who publish it are part of those, what? Either you obey it, those are the greatest. Those who preach it, those who pray, and those who give to us. If possible, I will encourage you to be part of all this category of men. A big amen. Psalm 138:2. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou art magnified thy word above all thy name. God's name is Alo. When you read Exodus, God said, you should not use the name of the Lord in vain. God's name is Alo. The Alo God's name. Alo be thy name. The Alo is name. To be Alo, his name is sacred. His name is referenced. But there's something about God's word. God magnify his word above all. Not some. Even Matthew 28:18. Baptize the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those names. God said, God magnifies his word above all his name. So whenever God, we are talking about the integrity and the potency of the word of God. Because God knows that his name cannot stand without his word. What stood for his name is his word. When there's no his word, there will never be his name. Man cannot call on his name if his word is not present. That is the essence of Romans chapter 10. For how shall they call upon his name? Of whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And a preacher is one that brings a word. So they cannot be calling on his name when there's not be a preacher to preach this word. So God knows. So God has to magnify his word above all his name. So that when there is his word, because his word will reveal his name. What is his name? His nature, his identity. So they can call on that name. What does it to magnify? God enlarges his word. God increases his word. God raises his word above all his name. That's why you must not play with his word. Like some of our fathers, they don't read newspaper. The newspaper of their day is what social media is to us. Because they say that there's no good news. Their ear have been redeemed for good news. Anything that they want to hear is what is God saying. Like Psalm 53. Who have believed our report? It's those who believe our report is the arm of the Lord. That will reveal me manifested. The arm of the Lord, which is the strength of the Lord, will not be revealed in your life if you lack the report of the Lord. So we must believe the report of the Lord. We must believe the sayings of the Lord. So that the arm of the Lord can be revealed. So please, we must not play with the word. When you publish the word, which is the highest, by living it up, believing it, obeying it, acting on the word, doing what the word says, or by being a preacher of the word, which you must be, and also preaching the word also means confessing the word, and also when you pray the word, and finally, you give towards the word. You be part of the company, great people that are publishing the word. If you want to be great in the sight of the Lord, be a man that publish the word. You'll be a great in the sight of the Lord. Nobody that does these four things that will not be great. I'm just showing you the secret to be great in the sight of God. These are the key to be great in the sight of God. Do these four things. Do the word. Preach the word. Confess it. Preach it. Both confess to yourself and say it. This is what the Lord God says concerning you. Say it to people. Then pray for the word to grow, and they let the word of God grow and mightily prevail by praying, labor in the word for prayer, and also give towards the word. Anywhere word meeting, anywhere we are going to use opportunity to publish the word, bring the word of God to people, give towards it. You will join the company of them who are great in the sight of God. And I've said also things of the God magnify his word above all his name. A big amen. The Lord will bless you in Jesus' name.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.